Today's scripture comes from the 7th chapter of Mark, beginning with the 24th verse. From there, Jesus set out for the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house there where he didn't think he would be found, but he couldn't escape notice. He was barely inside when a woman who had a disturbed daughter heard where he was, and she came and knelt at his feet begging for help. The woman was Greek, Syrophoenician by birth, and she asked him to cure her daughter. And he said, "Stand in line, take your turn. The children get fed first. If there's anything left over, then the dogs get it." And she said, "Of course, master, but don't the dogs under the table at least get the scraps that are dropped by the children?" Jesus was impressed. "You're right. On your way. Your daughter is no longer disturbed. The demonic affliction is gone." She went home and found her daughter relaxed on the bed. The torment is gone for good. And then he left the region of Tyre and went through Sidon, back to Galilee Lake and over to the district of the 10 towns. Some people brought a man who could neither hear nor speak, and they asked Jesus to lay a healing hand on him. He took the man off by himself, put fingers in the man's ears, and some spit on the man's tongue. And then Jesus looked up and prayed, groaned mightily, and commanded, "Open up!" And it happened. The man's hearing was clear, his speech was plain, just like that. And Jesus urged them to keep it quiet, but they talked it up all the more, besides themselves with excitement. "He's done it all, and he's done it well. He gives hearing to the deaf and speech to the speechless." All right. So I guess when you hear this, you would be right if you sat there and go, "Oh, well, the pastor's going to talk about healing today." And I mean, it would fit. After all, we've got all kinds of need for healing in this congregation. There's all kinds of challenges physically in this congregation. There are all kinds of challenges mentally in this congregation. But I'm going to set this up by telling you that that's not what I'm going to talk about. There's something actually more important in this than the healing stories themselves. Anybody want to take a guess what that might be? Stubborn faith. Okay. Want to expand on that?
Well, the Greek Phoenician woman, she was insistent.
Okay.
In getting Jesus' attention.
Okay.
And with those words, even the dogs get scratched one cheek silver.
Okay. I don't know. Sounded kind of whiny to me. I mean, Jesus wasn't there for her, right? And I mean, not only that, she was a woman. You know how that worked in those days. She's a woman at his feet, interfering with his ministry, mm-hmm. begging him for something that she had no right to beg
for. Don't you know your place?
And a matter of fact, Jesus even says to her, "Go get in line." You know, haven't we done that when we were handing out hygiene kits? Haven't we stood there with people, with the crush of people, looking to get those kits? Haven't we said to them, "Go get in line"? I don't think Jesus was far off, do you? Or is there something more to this? You know, maybe the something more at this point, the reason that Mark told this story is because maybe Jesus, do I dare say this out loud and in public, and as a ordained minister, maybe Jesus wasn't completely perfect in his humanity. Maybe Jesus had to learn about who belongs to God. Maybe Jesus had to get out of that box that he had been brought up in. And you know what box I'm talking about, folks. You know, it's the box that says, okay, I want help, but I only want help the way I want to get it. Amen. I should hear an amen on this.
Amen.
Thank you.
Go ahead and say stubborn. I think someone used that word earlier.
Well, I'm trying to avoid that because I don't want to talk about me.
Well, I'm stubborn. Anybody else stubborn?
But here's the deal. Jesus had a particular ministry. He had a particular focus. He had gone to this house. Number one, he was trying to avoid the crowds. Let's face it, he was tired. He was overwhelmed. We could read all kinds of stuff into that. And that's where I want to stop here for a second and give you this side note. Some of you have picked up on this and others have just kind of went, well, damn, who took our pastor? But the bottom line is that since August 4th at 7:29 p.m., I've not been the same. I was doing all right, you know. Billy and I have been together for a long time. And so the little kerfuffle that we had about going to the doctor, that was just everyday normal stuff, amen? You know, he's had leg pain for the better part of 3 years. And he is, ladies accepted here, he might be gay, but my God, he is a man. You know what I'm saying? That leg pain, don't worry about it. It's arthritis. Nothing to worry about. I don't need to go to the doctor. And he'd get out in the yard and overwork himself out in the yard, continue to bowl, just pop a couple of leave and continue to go on. And I bought into it because I'm the same way. You ask the vicar when she's mentioned to me, wow, Pastor, when was the last time you were at the doctor? We don't talk about that. So by the time we got to the doctor, and Billy's apologizing at one point to the doctor, saying, you know, I just thought this was going to be indigestion. I didn't want it to be embarrassing. I didn't want us spending money that we didn't need to spend. And the doctor, who I guess I like him because he has no bedside manner, which is what I really appreciate about this guy, looked at Bill and he said, Mr. Pabst, you do not have to apologize for being here. In fact, you don't have to apologize for anything. Because if you had waited another 8 hours, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And I sat there as I heard that and went, what the hell? I don't know about you, but all of a sudden, being a pastor, umpiring, being a community activist, meant nothing. I realized in a flash that all those people who don't think that gay relationships are created by God and are blessed by God don't know what the hell they're talking about. Because I realized in that moment that I am so intertwined with this man that if you rip him away from me, I'm not sure that I could go on. And in that moment, for the first time in my life, listen, I've been an outsider all my life, amen? You know, the fact that I knew I was gay and then and all of that kind of stuff, it's made me an outsider, amen? You know how that goes.
I was never the greatest in sports and all of those kinds of things. I've always been kind of a nerd. Didn't quite fit in with the jocks. Didn't quite fit in over here. I've always had to carve my own way. But I've never felt like I was an outsider until that moment. When I had no control. I don't know, there was something about that doctor sitting there going, hey, another 8 hours. We're not having this conversation. That said to me, whoa. And then I read this passage this week. And I realized that what was going on with that woman was exactly what happened to us in that emergency room. She had no options. There was nothing in her control. And she did the only thing that she could do. And that was cry out to God. And when God himself, because that's the way we talk about Jesus, right? Sat there and said, oh no, you got to get in line. We got to take care of these people first. And she said, that's fine. I understand getting in line. But you at least let me have the crumbs that fall to the floor. And Jesus, in that moment, opened up the door of what I'm calling total inclusion. She was not part of the Jewish community. He had no reason to be paying attention to her. That's why Mark put this story in here. It isn't about the miracle. We know that Jesus could chase out demons. We know that Jesus, at his touch, could heal things. The bigger message here is who belongs. Who gets that stuff? You know, I noticed something about being in the emergency room. You know, most of you have been in the emergency room for one thing or another, right? Okay? And especially like you go into Grady, and actually any emergency room, you go in there, you got a cough, they'll get to you when they get to you. You got to wait your turn. Tell them that you got chest pains. And the whole world changes, baby. Everything comes to a stop. You get a wheelchair. They wheel you back. They strap you to all these things. They take your blood. Because at that point, if you have chest pains, you're a heartbeat away from checking out. That's what Jesus heard from this woman. Is don't I at least deserve the crumbs? And his answer to that was, yes, you do. Go home. It says you ask. And why is that important for us? Because, yes, those of you who are sitting here challenged, you know, for me, the lesson has been that this is, you know, this is in my backyard. I was going to apologize for not being myself. For not being as focused. There have been screw-ups with the schedule. I have not been very, what's the word I'm looking here for?
Focused.
Focused, engaged.
Attentive.
Yeah, keep going. You're doing a good job. I haven't been any of those things, and I thought, you know, I need to stand up in front of the congregation and ask you to forgive me. And then I sat there and I realized, you know what? I've just gotten a lesson in what you all go through every freaking day. And I don't like it any better than you. So I'm here to tell you that yes, we deserve the crumbs too. But we don't have to settle for that because we belong to God already. We just got to claim that. I don't want anybody here giving up. I don't know what it's going to be like for the next month. I can tell you at this point, that I may be sometimes hard to get a hold of. It may be hard to get me to focus because I'm thinking about what's going on with Billy. But you all have proven that you know how to take care of yourselves, that you know how to handle this as a community. Amen? You all have proven to me, most importantly, that you get what it is to be part of God's family. When I needed the crumbs, you were right there brushing them up for me. Everybody's divided up their work. But now, with that said, thank you. If I'm cranky, forgive me. If I'm not focused, forgive me. But know that it's not because you all are not important to me. It's because I'm right there with you. I spent 30 years in ministry and all this stuff was in somebody else's yard. And now it's in my backyard. I know what it is now. How y'all's doctors feel like when I've gone to appointments with you. I now know how big. Oh, the doctor was, you know, I'm sure the doctor at one point wanted to tell me to shut up.
Or you have somebody like me and who can just tell you, tell the doctor, shut up, Paul.
So, the point of these two stories, the guy that got the healing, that was deaf and couldn't speak, he again was an outsider. He was somebody that didn't belong. He wasn't on the agenda. And so the story here today is, there's none of this stuff, folks. Whatever you think the agenda is, this stuff that happens to you is not on the agenda. It wasn't on the agenda to break your toe. It wasn't on anybody's agenda to fall and hit their head. But what we need to realize is that God is present with us even in those moments and will help us. And sometimes in a way that we are not expecting. The story that I'm going to finish today with is an old story, and of course it comes from the internet. But it's about a guy who was attached, and he got a call in a rough part of town at about 2 o'clock in the morning. And he pulled up, and as was the habit of taxi cab drivers in this part of town, when they pulled up to a building like this, it was just a three-story building. It was obviously a run-down apartment building. The habit of the drivers would be beep the horn a couple of times, and if somebody didn't come out, they'd be on their way because it was too dangerous. But this guy, that particular day, as he tells the story, there was just something about this call that he decided instead of beeping his horn, he'd get out and go knock on the door. And when he did, there was this 85, 86, 87-year-old woman, very frail, very small, there with her little suitcase waiting for him. And he picked up the suitcase and he walked it out to the cab and put it in the cab and held the door open for her and asked her where she wanted to go. And she proceeded to tell him an address, but she says, I want you to take this route instead. And he said, well, ma'am, that's a long ways. You're going to run up a lot of money on the meter. And she said, well, that's all right. It doesn't matter. I have no family. And the doctors told me that I don't have very much time, and I'm going to the hospice. He shut the meter off. And they proceeded to take that trip through downtown and through the town that she lived in. As a matter of fact, she pointed out the hospital that she was born in. She pointed out where her husband had worked. She pointed out the schools that her children went to. And went down that memory lane as she talked to him about all of that stuff. And as the sun was coming up, she says to him, I'm tired. Can you take me to my destination? Which he took her. And they were ready for her and waiting for her as She got out of the car. They put her in a wheelchair, and she started to reach into her purse to pay him for that 2.5 hours that they had been riding around. And he said, "No, ma'am, you don't owe me anything." She said, "But you've got to make a living." And he said, "There'll be other fares." And he spent the rest of the night wondering what had just happened. What had just happened was the same thing that happened to Jesus. Somebody in need came and asked for help. And even though it was against all protocol, even though it was not set up the way it was supposed to be, he was open enough and met the need. So folks, I know that stuff is not right. I know that every one of us are challenged, probably challenged beyond what we think we can handle. But understand today that I will testify before you that God has not abandoned us, and it will work out the way that it is supposed to. You all just have to do one thing, and that's what you've been doing for the 15 years that this church has existed. And that's embracing each other, reminding each other that everybody is not only entitled to the crumbs, but they're entitled to the banquet that comes with it. God bless you.